Hello and welcome back to another Wicked Good Book Club episode. We got something different this week.
Very different.
Oh my
Well, I
gosh.
mean, yeah, it's pretty. Yeah,
I
it's
feel
very
like we
different.
took a hard left and we wound up here.
We did.
Like this
How we wound up here, I don't know.
unsure. I mean, not like totally different than any books we've ever read, but definitely different than what we've been consuming at a mass, like super fast rate the last
Yeah.
like couple months for sure.
Yeah,
So,
definitely.
we have moved on to a little bit of Colleen Hoover this week with Verity,
Yes.
which was interesting.
It was interesting. Yes.
It was, I don't know, when I was reading what other people thought of it after I finished it, it was interesting to see the debate about people about whether or not this would be considered smut, whether or not it would really even be considered a romance novel.
Yeah.
So I kind of saw it as more of a suspense slash mystery,
Yeah.
that also had a few elements of some of the other book categories, but definitely like for a mature audience, given some of the stuff that it talks about, and
Yeah.
not really a romance novel.
Definitely not a romance. I saw people talking about how smutty and good it was, and I'm like, how could y'all get into that with all the other stuff happening? I
No,
didn't get it.
I didn't see it as smutty at all. There are some fairly graphic sex scenes in it,
Yeah.
but for me, smut is like it's got a positivity around it in some regard. Like it's
Yeah, it's somewhat of a romance, you
right,
know?
and
And
yeah.
this really isn't. I mean, like, yes, there are characters, quote unquote, falling in love and
Yeah.
having sex, but I don't know. I feel like everything else overshadows it, and it's not the
Yes.
point of the book.
No, I don't think it's the point of the book either. And well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about what happens in the book, and then we'll get into
Yeah.
some questions about it. But this book is about a girl named Loan Ashley, which just that's a weird name to me. Like I know we've read a lot of weird
I
high
was gonna
fantasy
say,
names
come on
lately,
now.
so it's not, but she
Yeah.
goes by Lo. Who's a struggling writer who's basically on the brink of financial ruin when she gets this crazy job offer. Her mom had cancer and was in the process of passing away, and it basically drained her finances. Her mom didn't leave her any money like she thought she would. And while she was taking care of her mom, she stopped writing for a while, so she didn't have any income coming in. And the book actually opened. The opening scene was like kind of hit you in the face. It opens where she's standing at a crosswalk in New York, and someone walks out in the street and is killed by a car in front of her. And she gets like
Yeah.
covered in his blood. And a stranger is like, "Hey, I'll help you get cleaned up and stuff. Come on over." And that's how she meets Jeremy Crawford, who we will find out in their business meeting a little bit later in the book, is the husband of an author named Verity Crawford, who's this really, really famous author. And he gives her this job offer. He says, "Look, we need a series of my wife's books finished. She was in an accident. The public doesn't know about it yet, but we want someone who's going to write her books and finish out the series for her. The publishing company wants someone to finish it. It was this huge deal." And she's like, "Well, why are you picking me?" Because she's a fairly unknown author. You know,
Yeah.
she's had some books that had a little bit of a following, but definitely nothing like Verity. And he tells her it's because his wife really liked her work and felt like they were really similar authors and that the style would be similar enough to finish out the book.
Right. And Loan at this point is like about to be evicted from her
She's
apartment. She's
being evicted. Yeah, she's gotten the notice that she's being evicted.
yeah.
Yep. And he says, you know, they're talking kind of about the apartment situation. He's like, "Well, you're gonna have to come to my house to read through all her notes and stuff anyway. You can just stay with us for a little bit." And
Right.
so she ends up going to this big house in the middle of Connecticut. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, but oh wait, no, was it?
It's
I think
within
it's
driving distance.
Vermont.
Vermont, yeah, it's within driving distance of New York City.
Yes, yeah.
And so she winds up staying in this house, which this to me was the first red flag of the book. And like I get
Big
that
time.
that's how you are driving the story for this, is that she has to go and live there for all this to otherwise unfold. But that was when I got, other than the opening scene, really the creepy vibes from this book, that
And
she was gonna go live in this house with these people. She's gonna basically live this author's life to figure out how her mind works to better write the characters. She's gonna go through all of her belongings And we find out that Verity is alive.
Yeah.
And lives in the house.
Yeah, exactly. The reason they were given was like a medical condition, and she's not going to be able to finish the books.
Right. But, and then she's in a car crash and she can't finish the book. So you're right. Picturing her to be like paralyzed, horribly disfigured, you know, whatever.
Right. But even Loewen at this point, and her editor or something,
her, like,
whatever.
Manager.
Something. They are both like, this is weird.
Weird vibes.
Yeah. Stay in their house.
And her manager / editor is also an ex kind of boyfriend, kind of just fuck buddy of hers, fling. Yeah. And he's like, I really don't think this is a good idea. And like, he doesn't sound like a great guy, but I was like, yeah, I agree.
I agree
that it's not a good idea.
But again, she's being evicted. Her mother just died, and this book deal could get her hundreds of thousands of dollars. So
I mean, they're talking the initial book deal, and they were going to give her like $75,000 per book.
Yeah.
And then she talks privately with Jeremy for a hot second. He's like, ask for, you know, $500,000 and they'll give it to you. They're desperate.
Right. Exactly.
So this is potentially life-changing money for her, and she needs a place to stay. So I can see how in a desperate situation you would think that that was a good idea, or at least acceptable idea. But yeah, I immediately got creepy vibes from that.
Yeah. So Loewen does go to the home.
Yeah.
And she's ready to sort through literal years of Verity's notes and outlines, and hoping enough to get started. And then she's thinking, I'll be there for a day, maybe two, and go back to New York.
Yeah. Her plan was like the weekend.
Right. But what she doesn't expect, is that when she's looking through all the notes, she finds a unfinished autobiography that Verity never intended for anyone to read.
I didn't buy that it was never intended to be read, because it's written there. The foreword to it is written to her readers and says, like, you know, most authors won't give you all the real stuff that makes your stomach turn sour. And she's like, but this book will. So like it's written definitely when you're first learning about it, like something that, like, on her deathbed she would publish, or, you know, something like that.
Yes. Here is where we start to need alcohol, which is I'm popping open a Truly. It really seems like she needs to, or she's going to publish this. Loewen starts reading, and the manuscript starts to get, like I said, real real bad real quickly. So bone chilling is what we said here, and yeah, it absolutely is. So it includes Verity's recollections of the night that she met Jeremy's his name, right? Yeah
And that part was like, I mean, it was
kind of iffy.
It was like a weird, it made it seem like their relationship was very strange from the beginning, like it wasn't all lovey-dovey and stuff. And she reads this interaction from Verity's perspective, and then she's like, oh, I wonder if any of this is even true. So she does ask Jeremy about it, and he confirms that, like, that this is their life story, because it kind of sounds ridiculous and like it wouldn't have happened that way.
Yeah.
But you immediately get the impression that Verity has this almost wrong kind of obsession with Jeremy. Like, and the way they interact
is the absolute word for it. So, this manuscript details how jealous she was of her husband's love for their daughters. And she even talks about, like, the night they were engaged turned into the night that they conceived their daughters, and it ruined everything.
And she, like, hated these kids from the start.
Yeah.
And then when it found out it was twins, she loathed them even more, because she's like, oh, they're going to ruin my body. Two people to give attention away with. Like, it's all the things that you would look at a person and be like, I hope you're never a mother if you feel this way about your children.
Right. And she's like, she talks about, she's looking in the mirror and she, like, hates her body. Mm-hmm. And then Jeremy loves it, and he's talking about how much he loves the girls already. And she hates it, and hates that anybody, including her own children, is going to take time away from Jeremy and love away from Jeremy, because she knows that he's going to love their daughters more than he could ever love her.
Yeah, and she asks him that. She's like, do you think you'll love them more than you love me? And he tells her yes. And she's like, what? And he's like, well, you know, and she's
of course,
he's like, well, it'll be, you know? He's like, it'll be different, you know? And she's like, but will you love them more? And he's like, yeah, probably. Like, they're my kids. And,
right.
And she's like, she's so off put by this idea that he would be an involved, loving parent, which most people, it would be their dream.
Right.
That
yes.
the father is super involved and loving and wants to be a part of everything.
Right. So that's pretty bad. And then it gets really dark. Where yeah. she actually tries to abort her own daughters with a coat hanger, right?
Yeah.
And
she takes a lot of pills. Like, she tries multiple times.
Multiple times to
end the pregnancy.
Yeah. And I feel like it's pretty late in the pregnancy when she does this. It's not early on. And it's very graphic. Very graphic.
It's late enough in the pregnancy that we are led to believe the reason that one of their daughters, one of the twins, had a scar on her face is because of the failed attempt at a coat hanger abortion.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, it was wild.
Yeah.
So that happens, but the girls are born. She talks about getting a nanny, and basically she doesn't have to deal with a lot of the gross stuff. Also she's writing her books at this point as well.
Right. And she describes it like she was miserable and she would just let the kid, she was like, I would just leave the girls in their room and they would scream all day when he went to work and I could get writing done because I wasn't taking care of them. And right. then when he would come home, I'd start taking care of them and it was fine. But yeah. then it wasn't maintainable. So they got a nanny. Then the right. kids were going to go to daycare. And then like they got further and further outside of the family circle because she kept like putting barriers in between her and her kids, basically.
Right. And it seems like the only thing. And writing.
Yep.
So she even talks about later on actually killing her daughter Harper as revenge for the other daughter dying. So the other daughter went away to a sleepover and she mm-hmm. was deathly allergic to peanuts, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And she ended up having some peanuts in it.
And as an accident, there's like a bunch of kids hanging out and they get snacks that have peanuts. And like the parents have made very clear to the other parents who are the friends that, you know, she's got a peanut allergy and stuff. And they were very careful with it, but they, you know, they didn't get the EpiPen in time and she ended up dying from this. And
right.
Verity always believed that Harper, who is described to be on the spectrum.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Verity always believes, or in this manuscript says that she believes that Harper did it on purpose, or like didn't notify that there were going to be peanuts or whatever on purpose because she was jealous. And although Verity never really liked her kids, she did start to bond with Chasten. So
yes.
She loved that one child very much, and she
right.
ended up developing a weird bond, but a bond with
a
this
bond,
other
yeah.
child. And then she always blamed the equally young. They were, I don't know, like
they were twins, and they were like what, like eight or something.
Yeah, I mean they're young.
Yeah,
they're very young.
And so Chasten is dead, and I believe it's what, like a few
like
months
a year,
later,
like not a even year, a year later,
not even yeah. a year later. And she admits to taking her and her son, which his pregnancy was all lies. She pretended to be pregnant and then wasn't.
Their marriage was like falling apart, and
yeah,
so
after their
like,
daughter's death, I believe. No, yeah, after the first daughter's death, maybe
after the first daughter's death. Yeah, and they're really falling apart because Jeremy's realizing she hasn't bonded with Harper at all, and she doesn't treat Harper very well and stuff, and so maybe the daughter wasn't dead yet. But you don't love them, you don't take care of them, you clearly don't love Harper and all this stuff, and she's like,
yeah.
oh, I remember how happy he was when he found out we were pregnant the first time,
right.
and so she tells him she's pregnant again, but she's not actually pregnant yet. And then she just kind of gets lucky and does get pregnant, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later. So it's close enough that it seems like it could be right.
Right.
And then they have this other child. But we don't really ever get a ton of her interaction with Crew because her accident happens and she stopped writing kind of
yeah.
around that time.
Yeah. And but she at the end of the manuscript, before she goes and gets in the accident, she says that she, Harper, and her son Crew went out on a little boat on a lake behind their house, and that she basically tipped the boat on purpose to drown Harper.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then right after that, she gets into her accident, and she is not a vegetable, but kind of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, she was in a medically induced coma, and then just in a regular coma for a couple weeks. She came out of the coma, and it just seemed like maybe her neurological function wasn't intact anymore.
Yeah.
So Jeremy became a full-time caregiver for her, and then they also have a nurse who comes in and works with her. And it's believed that she can't do anything. She doesn't think, she doesn't process. She had to relearn how to do basic things like swallow food and chew food and stuff. But basically that she's functioning at the same level as like a toddler.
Right.
But that she's now nonverbal and that she can't move herself.
Right.
So Loewen is reading this manuscript. She goes back and forth about, do I tell Jeremy? Do I not tell Jeremy? Because these are all things that have been kept from him at this point. And she knows that it would devastate him, and he's already grieving the loss of now his two daughters at this point and also his wife. But Loewen starts to have feelings for Jeremy, mm-hmm. and Jeremy starts to express that he also has feelings for Loewen. They start spending more time together. Eventually they start having sex with each other, which was very strange for me that it was happening in that house.
Yeah, especially because I don't think her accident, it wasn't like her accident was like 10 years ago or something.
No, it was like a month ago. Like at the point that they hire her, it hasn't been that long. And then it starts to come out that Jeremy's maybe been hiding some stuff from her as well. So Loewen finds out that Jeremy's the one who read her books and liked the writing, and that he mm-hmm. picked to have Loewen come and live here because he fell in love with her writing. Not in love, but I mean, really enjoyed her writing, and that Verity had never read her works.
Right.
And so Loewen's realizing that, you know, maybe there would be a lot of benefits to Jeremy reading all this. One, because she's starting to have feelings for him, but also because as she's reading, she's finding out more and more and more stuff. So, I mean, once she gets to the end and it says that she's responsible for Harper's death, she's like, okay, I think that he should read this.
Right.
And this whole thing with Jeremy and crew and taking care of Verity and not having her in a home, I thought was very strange. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that's kind of how the story is, but Jeremy maintains that he's really devoted to Verity and taking care of her because it would be really hard for crew to lose her. He's lost his two sisters. Mm-hmm. And now to like put his mom in a home basically where she'd be taken care of would be really hard. But as Loewen and Jeremy's relationship progresses, she kind of talks to him. She's like, you know, crew could still go and visit and Verity be well taken care of, but you guys also have to be able to move on.
Yeah.
And so she decides she is maybe going to tell him about it, but then she's kind of forced to having to tell him about it because she keeps thinking that she's seeing Verity doing things.
Yeah.
So
like
she's
standing up at the top of the stairs.
Standing at the top of the stairs when they're making out on the couch, or like, you know, she's hiding a knife that crew brought into the room, or she's waving at crew when he's down by the water and all this stuff. So she feels like she's starting to go crazy living in this house too. And so eventually she's like, look, I'm going to tell him.
Yeah. So she tells him. He has a, obviously, understandable, big freak out. I mean, she hears him upstairs like throwing things, you know. I mean, and wouldn't we all after doing something like that? And so she has like a baby monitor on Verity, and she goes up to Jeremy goes into Verity's room, and Loewen goes up there because she's afraid, rightfully so, that Jeremy's going to like try to kill Verity.
Well, and Verity's been getting more and more scared about Verity being alone with crew because Loewen has that she's like gonna kidnap crew or hurt crew, because it's really hard to tell where Verity's at with all of this,
right?
Because you like it hasn't really been confirmed that she is okay at this point. We're just seeing what Loewen thinks she's seeing,
right? And I mean, it's creepy stuff like a lock being locked from the outside of the door,
yeah,
you know, things like that, where it's not just her seeing things. Things are happening that are strange right. in the house.
Right. So, yeah. The TV was, the volume was on, then the volume's off, like stuff like that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So Jeremy goes in to Verity's room and is basically like screaming at her, telling her, you know, come on, like get up, like cut it out. We're done. You're making this up. And Verity does move. She has been faking it the whole time.
Yeah.
Jeremy goes and is basically trying to choke her to death.
It's not great, but I'm not shocked.
I'm definitely not shocked. I mean, she's faking her illness and she, you know, according to this manuscript, she is obsessed with him, killed their children, you know,
yeah,
crazy stuff. But then, Loewen is yelling at him, you know, you can't do this. You can't take, you know, your father and the mother away from Crew. We can't do this.
Right. If you kill her now,
right,
you're going to go to jail. And then what's going to happen to this kid who the whole reason you've been putting up with everything that's going on with Verity is because you didn't want to do that. So, which is a valid point.
Very valid. So she stops him and then things get less valid where Loewen's like, you have to make it look like an accident.
And this is a tough one for me, with Loewen being so involved because this all happened to and around Jeremy. Loewen's literally been in that house for like a week.
Right. It's pretty wild. Everything's happening very quickly. So Loewen says basically you have to make it look like an accident, and they come up with this plan of making it look like she choked on her own vomit.
Yeah.
Which is something that in the manuscript, Verity actually tries to do to her infant daughter.
Tries to do to Harper. Yeah.
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 So,
I mean, a little poetic justice in that sense. Like,
it's a little poetic justice.
If she was trying to murder a child that way to then kill her that way.
Right. And but everybody at this point thinks that she's like, you know, nonverbal, you know, not moving and everything. Right. So, like, choking on her own vomit
could happen. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jeremy ends up shoving his fingers down her throat. And they kill her.
Yeah. And it comes out during all of this that Jeremy had actually read Verity's manuscript. He already knew all of it and that he had caused her accident, that he put her in the car with her hands tied and crashed her car. And then it just so happened that she didn't die from it, but that he had planned to kill her.
Yes.
In this accident, which that like you get, I guess, relatively normal vibes from Jeremy for most of the book. Like, he seems like a devoted and loving father, a devoted husband, you know, and he's a little bit conflicted about having feelings for Loewen and all this stuff. And so he seems kind of normal. And then you find out, like, he's known about this the whole time. He tried to kill her because of it. Like, he lied to get Loewen there. And I just started getting some not good vibes about him.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Not good vibes.
Not good vibes.
So Verity's death is ruled, you know, natural causes. It turns out that Loewen is pregnant. She got pregnant the one time, or like the one day that they were sleeping together.
It says that she literally like propped herself up
in hopes of getting pregnant.
Yeah, the hell?
I mean, Jeremy has the most fertile swimmers known to man. Absolutely. If he is out here getting people pregnant left and right with this.
Yeah.
So it kind of like that all wraps up. And I don't know, you feel kind of, you don't feel great about it, but you feel like, okay, she did all these awful things. They're going to move on. Hopefully have a happy life. Crew really likes Loewen. They're kind of a happy family. She's very pregnant. And we cut to the last chapter when they are about to welcome their new child. She's like 8 months pregnant at this point, and they have to go back to Jeremy's old house to get the last of the stuff out. And Loewen's going around and she's like, oh, you know, remember that time that Crew had a knife and then he didn't, and I was hallucinating things and ha ha ha. And she finds these things tucked under the floorboard that Verity had put there. And one of them is a very long letter addressed to Jeremy that says basically, you know, obviously you read the manuscript and you're really mad. I'm going to take Crew in the night until it's safe for us to be back around each other. But obviously we need to talk about it, but that this was all just a writing exercise, and that my publisher told me if I wanted to be able to write books from the perspective of the villain, which is like what she ends up being good at, and that's what her books are hailed for, that I needed to write in this augmented reality where I write, you know, the bad of the situation. So she, you know, she writes an excerpt about like the night that they first met, what it actually was like. And she talks about, you know, it'd be ridiculous for anyone to read this and think that it was real and to think that our relationship just revolved around sex and that I was obsessed with you like this and that I would ever hurt our kids and blah, blah, blah. And she says that, you know, none of this was true. None of it happened.
And that her intent for writing all of it was she was going to help other writers learn how to like write from the perspective of a villain.
Right. So she maintains that it was all, you know, fake. And this all happened before her accident. So she writes this letter and then never has the chance to, because then he tries to kill her.
Yeah.
And then she plays like dead basically for whatever time after that. And then that's the end of the book.
Yeah. And Loan decides not to
And
Loan, share this with Jeremy. She's just going to go live the life of Verity.
Which I have to be honest, I kind of agree with Loan. Like at this point you've killed her, so to add that, to be like, oh, we may have fucked up, they would have to go through the anguish of deciding if it was true and then also decide how guilty they feel about what they've done and stuff. So I can see why she would not, you know, give it to Jeremy. But this particular part when she decides not to tell Jeremy and that there is a letter and all this stuff made me wonder if there was going to be a second book where there's an investigation into it or something like that. But I don't think that's the case.
I haven't heard
or read anything. And this book is from like 2018.
Yeah. And so. I think, you know, there's some books, and this I think is one of them, where it's really supposed to be the reader is left to decide, and there's not going to be an actual ending of is this true or not. I think that's kind of the whole point of the ending.
Right.
I don't think there's going to be a sequel, personally. Yeah.
No, I wondered that, but it didn't seem it would give answers where answers were not intended to be. To write a sequel. Now, to write another suspense mystery along the same vein, you know, whatever. But
yeah.
So what do you think that the truth of the novel is? Like, we've talked about it a little bit, but like, do you think that, whose story do you believe?
So here's my issue. I feel like either one could honestly be true, because my issue with Verity's last letter, where she says, you know, oh, all of this is fake. I only meant this as an exercise and I was going to share it with other writers. Then why didn't you put that as a like disclaimer everywhere on every single page? You know, like why in the foreword of this manuscript was it like, oh, well, real, you know, most authors aren't going to tell you this, but this is the real story. Why wouldn't you put the foreword as like, this is not real. This is, you know, I'm showing how to write from a villain. Like
I wonder, I don't know, I think that the truth of it is that it started out as that, and then it just progressed into being her actual deepest thoughts and feelings about things, and then she started acting on them. Or even if she didn't act on them, even if she didn't end up doing any of it, and it all ended up being an accident, like she said it was, that those were still things that she felt very deeply inside of her that she would have done, and I think that still makes her a very bad person to think those things and feel those things. But you can't prosecute people based on the things they think.
No,
you know, if they're not doing it, it's, you have the freedom in your own mind to do that. So I would say that at the very least, she was a bad person. I mean, her letter seems very convenient. And the placement of the letter in the book for me does make it seem really convenient that like they go through all this, and then Verity's got something where she's like, oh, none of it's true, I'm a good guy, I was a loving and devoted wife and mother, and all I wanted to do was support you and the kids, and of course I loved our kids, and of course, because there were the things that happened where, you know, like she, when she's about to tip the canoe, or when the canoe's tipping, whichever story it is, she still leans over and she tells Crew to hold his breath,
right,
and
says that,
and Crew,
like,
and Crew says that to Jeremy, and Jeremy interrogates her about it, and she's like, oh, I was just trying to save him. So it always just seems convenient.
It did. And I don't think someone who truly was good and truly, you know, that was purely just a creative exercise. I don't think that they would fake being comatose and fake, you know, having all of these horrible injuries.
Right. The minute he finds out about the manuscript, you would immediately be like, this is what I was doing. Because he had time to kidnap her, tie her up in the car, cause the accident, and then she didn't end up dying or being paralyzed or comatose from the accident. And she could have been like, hey, really fucked up that you did that. But oh, by the way, none of it was true. Let's talk about it. But she doesn't.
Right.
I don't know if she was waiting for enough time to pass where she could feel like she could say that. But I also feel like this is a story that could be absolutely independently corroborated with her publishing agent, who is, she cites as telling her
exactly
that she should do these exercises, or that, you know, when this tragic accident happens to her, that her publisher or her agent or whoever goes to Jeremy and says, she was working on these exercises. You might find in her manuscripts, you know, that all this shady shit was happening, or she was writing these things. And that would be a super easy way to tell if this was true or not.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, because in my opinion, the lengths that she goes to pretend like she's, you know, so injured that she can't think, eat, swallow, talk.
Yeah.
I don't know any sane person who would be able to go to that length, to be honest. I mean,
no.
Yes, he tried to kill you, and you could argue that, you know, maybe she feels unsafe, but it wouldn't take much to get out of that situation, in my opinion.
Right, but if she feels unsafe, then the minute that she's not in a medically induced coma anymore, she just leaves him. She's,
right, exactly.
Or she presses charges, or she does anything. So,
right.
She keeps saying, and she says it a couple times in the letter, that she wants them to maintain their marriage, that they were really happy, and she wants them to get back to normal. And I feel like the people who say shit like, I want us to get back to normal, are the people who've done something wrong.
Yeah.
And who want to move on with their lives because of it. It's not normally the people who are the victims of the situation who are like, I just want things to get back to normal. Like, that's what the bad person in the scenario says, in my mind.
Yeah. And again, if she has that in her mind, what sane person thinks that you can fake, you know, fake this injury to where your husband's having to, like, literally wipe your ass and, like, bathe you.
Yeah.
And then come back and be like, everything's fine. We're going to be a loving family.
And to be, like, half committed to it, because she's still talking to crew and waving at him in the window and walking around her house at night. Like, she's not that. There is a stranger in your house.
Yeah.
Loan is in your house and is going to be up at all hours of night. And, like, so you're going to get caught. So to think that she wouldn't get caught doing this too is ridiculous, especially because crew's like, yeah, I talk to my mom all the time. And everyone's like, what?
Right.
And they're like, oh, he's five. But, like, he's five. He's not two. He's five.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and then there's points, too, where Loan is questioning crew about what happened with Harper, and he gets scared.
He gets scared, and that kind of brings me to my next question, which is, do we think that crew is abused by Verity?
I don't think necessarily that crew is abused in the true sense, you know, physical or whatever, but he is, I think he's fucked up. I mean, if anything, his two sisters were killed. One of them he was with when she was, you know, dying.
Yeah.
So I think he's fucked up. And then I think also how fucked up when, you know, your mom is allegedly, you know, injured so horribly, but she's talking to you and she's telling you to not tell other people. And
right. It's
so,
just, it's, there's several instances of crew hurting himself, like with the knife thing that he just bites down on it so hard that he splits his gums up. Like, that is all an indication of a child who's really struggling, and generally it stems from the adults in their lives, especially at that age.
Right.
And although I don't know that she physically abuses crew, I do have some questions about the psychological well-being of that child. And he's had a lot happen with his sister's death and then his mom's accident, absolutely, but you know, he's really young when his sisters die. And that's not to say that it's any less impactful if you're really young, but he might not grasp the extent of what's happened to them and the situation. But I would think it would be really hard to, like, dad thinks that mom can't move or whatever, but I talk to her every day. Like, to do that to your kid.
Right.
Instead of just letting him think that you're, you know, you're unable to talk or move or do whatever, to be still engaging with him, but only sometimes. Like, that's, I think that's wrong.
And again, I think it's another, like, point on the board for, no, Verity might be a psychopath, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
That's just weird. It's just weird. Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I think Verity, if she was by herself as an author, is fine.
Yeah.
Like, authors do and say weird things for weird reasons, but her relationship with Jeremy, I think, is very augmented towards her obsession, because I do think that some of that was real. And, like, she says in her letter that it's not about, you know, their relationship wasn't just about sex, and she wasn't just that obsessed with him and this and that, but it feels that way.
Right.
And it doesn't feel like her relationship with her children was ever authentic, because even now, the relationship that we see firsthand with her and crew is wrong.
Right.
The way that she's going about it seems very wrong. So I don't have a lot of positive things to say about Verity. I was conflicted. You know, maybe she was telling the truth, and it is really sad that her husband tried to murder her when he found out about all of this stuff. Regardless of how understandable it is, he still tried to kill her. So that's obviously very difficult and very hard. But for her to immediately just be like, I'm just going to take, you know, crew for a little bit, and then we'll come back and we'll be fine. Like, that's fucked.
Right. Yeah. It's, I don't have a whole lot of positive things to say about Verity either. I think there's some, like, on some level, there's something weird and obsessive about her. Like we said, like, the way she's faking her condition is just strange. Like, I don't feel like you can, like, just say, oh, I was scared, or, oh, this isn't like me. I feel like you have to have, on some kind of level, like, some kind of obsessive or, like, quality, you know?
And this is not to say that I think Jeremy is a good person.
No, agreed.
And in the beginning, you feel badly for him. He's a widower, or he's, you know, not a widower. I thought she was dead in the beginning.
I thought she was dead in the beginning. Yeah.
But he's, you know, he's lost his wife. He's lost his two daughters. It's all happened really, really close together.
Yeah.
He's now taking care of his son. He's the caregiver for his wife. He's trying to make it all happen. So I did feel badly for him, and he seemed, you know, devoted to his wife, and then he didn't anymore. Right. And there's no excuse for it. Like, if your wife is in the house with you and you're her caregiver, you are still committed enough to that marriage that you're not becoming interested or inviting other people into your home. Now, if they've said she's brain dead and she's never going to come out of it, and you put her in a home, and then you know, take your son to visit her, but you have decided to move on with your lives, that's something I can respect a little bit more.
Yeah.
Now,
absolutely.
That being said, this all just fucking happened.
Exactly. It was very,
like,
recent.
Like, within the month.
Yeah.
Or something. Like, it just happened.
Much less than a year. I think less than, like, 6 months, maybe. Yeah. And, like,
yeah. And it's interesting, because he obviously invites Loan to the house, and it seems like for a reason that's okay. He's like, she's got all of her work papers and stuff there. You can come and go through and just get a feel for it.
Yeah.
But then they're grocery shopping together. He's making her birthday cake. They're watching, they're going to the movies and to dinner together. And I know crew was with them for one of them, but just, it's like he immediately is ready to start playing house with someone else, but his wife is still there.
Yeah. And it's funny, because part of the thing that's making Loan fall in love with Jeremy is Verity's writing about him.
Right.
And she, one of the things she loves is how dedicated Jeremy is to not only his kids, but his wife. So it's just, like, it's weird that, like, that's what's attracting you, yet.
That's also what's not happening.
Right, because he's wanting to bang you downstairs.
Yeah, and it's hard. Weird. It's, like, you can tell that Loan doesn't have a very good love map development. And, like, she talks about her past relationships and how they were bad and this and that and the other. But I don't know that I find any of the characters in this story to be particularly likable.
No, like, I don't think any of them are. No.
I think they all have weird situations. Obviously, Loan's in a very difficult place with her mom dying and being on the verge of bankruptcy and being homeless and being a struggling writer. And I think that all of that is very difficult. However, again, you do not step fully into the shoes of someone who's still there.
Right. Yeah.
And then agree to murder her with this guy that you literally just met.
Exactly. And that's, like, up until, you know, when Loan first gets going through everything. I thought she was fine. You know, she seemed normal, yeah, whatever.
She seemed like she was taking advantage of an opportunity that she really needed, and that was fine. And it was, she keeps talking about her intention. She's like, I'm going to be there 1 or 2 days. Oh, well, it's a lot more. I might need a couple extra days. But like, it seemed fine right up until it didn't.
Right. And it seemed fine until it went 0 to 100 really quickly. It was, you know, she's in love with Jeremy. She's you know, like you said, going grocery shopping with them, like playing house. We not only just had sex literally underneath his wife, under the floor below, but now I'm going to try to get pregnant too. Like, I'm going to,
they're having sex and she's looking at Verity's bite marks in the wood boards, and she does it over it and deeper so that it's just her. It's like, it's everyone, the second everyone walked in that house, they just started losing their minds a little bit.
Yeah. And I think that really the funny thing is Loan is reading this manuscript and she's talking about how horrible it is that this woman is obsessed with Jeremy this way. And then she's acting the exact same way. Not to the crazy extent or anything, but
not quite, but
she's wanting to completely take over Verity's life, it seems.
Right. And I mean, she basically does. She goes on to, she finishes the book series. She has her husband. She has her characters. Like, she basically, and she says that. She's like, I'm basically becoming Verity. And like, she does.
Right.
She does.
No. Likeable. And I think Jeremy, for most, I mean, I would say 90% of the book, you have an idea that he's this great guy. That's what you're supposed to believe.
Yeah.
But to be completely honest, I thought he did it from the very beginning. I thought that truly we were going to find out that Jeremy caused the car accident, which, correct.
Mm-hmm.
But I also thought, truly, I thought we were going to find out that he wrote the manuscript. And that none of that was real.
And that's even a possibility because, like, Verity was dead when her handwritten letter is found explaining it all. The manuscript, there's only one copy because Jeremy got rid of the other one so no one else would ever read it. Like, it's all a little sketchy.
I don't think it's to the point where Jeremy actually wrote it. I think that would be a reach, but that's what I was headed. So yeah. I even thought that Jeremy was even worse than what we see him as at the end.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't think anybody's likable. Crew is maybe the only likable one, and he's a fucked up little kid.
And he's not even that likable because he's kind of an asshole.
Because he's kind of an asshole, yeah. But at the same time, he's the only one in that house who it's like, you can be an asshole. Yeah.
It's just
life, dude.
It was definitely a darker story than I was expecting. I know that people, because I've got a couple Colleen Hoover books on my reads list this year, and everyone's feedback was, you know, she's a much darker writer than other people kind of in her genre, and that she really does write, you know, the romance or the relationship type novels, but in a much darker sense and where it's really more suspense and mystery than it is romance or smut or, you know.
Well, she said that this book is a step away from even her normal stuff. Like, her normal stuff is more of like, this is what, you know, what I've read of hers and what she said was, you know, like, oh, like my stuff is normally like romance and like it's dark and it's mostly like sad more than anything. And then, but she's like, but this was like a left turn where
right.
it wasn't really based on the romance. It was the thriller.
Right. Because there are the other ones I have, the It Ends With Us and I don't know. There's the other one. I've got the other one on there. And people's feedback is that they're not necessarily like suspenseful as much as they are just, they're not happy ending stories.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No, she doesn't do that. They both die in the end. But they're not
ugly
happy.
Ugly Love, I think, maybe.
Ugly Love. Yes. Thank you. Ugly Love. So it's, she and those ones are just, it's how the romance novels that you read would probably turn out in real life versus how they materialize in the romance fiction genre in general.
Right.
So I think she's a good author. I thought it was well written.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was well written.
So I'm excited to read some other stuff by her. But yeah, this one was definitely a lot darker. It was definitely a left turn for us.
Yeah, it was definitely, very dark. And like you said, I liked her writing from the very beginning. I thought, you know, this was going to be a well-written book, and it was. Yeah,
absolutely.
But it's not, I hit my mic. it's not necessarily something that I would normally gravitate towards, I would say.
No, me either, because normally I'll read something that's either all suspense or it's all romance or it's all, you know, one or the other. So this was kind of an interesting mix of the two of them, I think.
Yeah, and even, like, going back to the people who said it was smut, like, I was uncomfortable during the sex scenes because of how much everything else was happening. Like, you couldn't separate it in my mind.
No, you know? and it was like, I mean, when you're reading the ones between Verity and Jeremy, it doesn't seem like genuine love, or it almost, like, when it's you're reading it, it doesn't feel as consensual as you would expect it to be in smut novels. Like, it's typically a lot more, you read it and you're like, oh, they're super into it. Not like, oh, I really feel badly for this guy that, like, this is happening.
Right. Like, there is no informed consent happening. No. That's for sure.
No, but it's also interesting to read a story about someone who's writing a story about what happened in their personal lives, because all of the stuff that she was writing in the manuscript just felt like a gross invasion of Jeremy's privacy as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what was so weird to me also about Loen, you know, not trying to recreate scenes, but kind of, like we said, like with the bite marks.
Yeah.
Like, you read all that horrible stuff. It's a huge invasion of his privacy. And it doesn't make him look very smart, to be honest with you. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's basically how he's been manipulated his whole life.
Yeah.
And then you're trying. I don't know. It's weird. Nobody's good in this story.
No. And it starts out and you think that they are. I mean, you feel badly for Loen in her situation. You're kind of excited that she's getting this opportunity because it's clear that she's got some talent, but she hasn't had a ton of opportunity. Then you've got Jeremy, who's got this sad situation. He gets a little companionship. I mean, they're talking about, like, he's like, oh, do you think I should put Crew in therapy? And she's like, yeah. And you're like, oh, that's a positive friendship that they have that's driving them to do these other things. And then it just downhill.
Yeah. And it definitely seems, I mean, the whole way you can describe this entire book is, like, it's in areas of gray. You know,
all of
is Loen a horrible person? Not really. Is she a good person? Not really. Same with Jeremy. You could probably say the same with Verity. Like, it's all just everything is undetermined, even the ending, truly.
But it's interesting because they're not morally gray characters in the sense that, like, you find them fun and attractive and in other books that you read where they're morally gray and, like, that's everyone's favorite character. They're just gray and, like, you don't like them very much.
Right, exactly. Like, morally gray to me is, like, they have to have a lot of likable characters and some morals that we understand and agree with.
Right, yeah.
For them to be morally gray.
You do a bad thing, but for the right reason.
Correct, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is not that.
I will say, I haven't seen a ton of spoilers for Verity, which is kind of surprising because Colleen Hoover's a fairly popular author, but this is definitely a different, a little, you know, even more far removed from her.
Yeah.
So reading the last chapter, it truly was shocking for me to read the last chapter.
It wasn't as shocking to me. Again, because I truly thought it was going to go even darker and crazier, to be honest. And maybe that says something about my mental health. I don't know. but yeah, I was kind of like, I didn't predict it happening, but I also wasn't like shocked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, well, it's crazy to me.
I felt like when I got to the end and then realized there was in fact one more chapter, I was like, oh, it's going to be some shit like that. But
yeah,
leading up to it, I definitely didn't see it coming.
Again, I mean, I definitely saw Jeremy causing the accident. I definitely saw, you know, eventually Jeremy finding out about the manuscript. His reaction wasn't that crazy. I thought the craziest part of the whole thing, truly, was that Loen stopped him, but then was like, we got to kill her right. We got to do it the right way. That was the craziest part to me. Everything else was kind of in line with where I thought it was headed. But the fact that she was like, no, stop. Do it this way.
The story would have made a lot more sense over a timeline of her and Jeremy over a year.
Yes, over not, a year I could
not
have
over
seen
not over le- like less than a month,
right? Because you know, I don't have experience with this, FBI don't come after me, but you know, like, when you're doing a crime like that with multiple people, like, you've got to trust that they're going to keep their mouth shut,
right? Or like, it's great that you two think that you're into each other, but you've just met. So there's so many things in the relationship that could fall apart.
Right. Really. And now you two are linked forever with, you guys are both accomplices to a murder.
Yeah.
Like,
That's heavy.
You don't put that into a random person that you just met a week ago.
No.
That's not how that works. Or it shouldn't be how it works. You will go to jail. Yeah.
Worked out for them, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. But this book actually reminds me a lot of, and I talked to Sarah about this after we finished it. It reminds me a lot of Alias Grace by author of Handmaid's Tale. What is her name? Margaret Atwood.
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of thing of like the whole book, you're wondering like what side of the story is right. And it never answers it at the end. And it could either be this victim. She's a victim, or she's a psychopath murderer.
Yeah. I mean, yikes.
That highly recommend. It's very good.
I mean, it was definitely, I think it was a nice break from what we've been reading, and
yeah,
it's kind of set us up. We are going to be doing more books that are less high fantasy in the upcoming episodes as well. Yeah. So it kind of kicks that off for us. But overall, I really enjoyed her writing. The book, I'm going to say 3.8 stars out of 5. And not because I thought it was poorly written or had plot holes or anything like that, just because it wasn't as much my cup of tea.
I agree. The 3.8 was what I was going to do.
Yeah, or 4. Yeah, I mean, it was – I didn't enjoy it. I mean, I don't think it's a book that you're supposed to enjoy. I mean, you read ACOTAR and Crescent series and you like enjoy reading it. And this was not one of those for me, but I would go back and I would read it again, just knowing what I know now to see if I feel like it's, you lead up to it really. So I wouldn't never pick the book up again, certainly.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'll read it again, but not because I didn't like it. It's just not the kind of book that I go back to very often. I'm more likely to go back to the ones that I really enjoy.
But
I thought her writing was really good. I wasn't super interested in Colleen Hoover, but maybe I'll read another one, you know, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
But yeah, 3.8 is about mine as well. Yeah. So, yeah.
We will be getting even further away from our first two episodes, which were both Crescent City books. Our next book, our second book for the month of March, is going to be The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid. It came out in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wildly popular book talk book.
One of the most popular, I would say. A lot of people know it as their favorite book ever.
Yes. So. It's a very, very... It's very different too. I mean, it's about a historical fiction. It's a historical fiction novel about a Hollywood star who gives a deathbed interview. Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's different. It's definitely out of our wheelhouse a little bit with what we're reading, but I've heard very good things about it. So I am very excited.
Yeah. And it's similar on the lines of, I have read the book, Sarah hasn't, but it's similar onto the lines of, it's kind of with this where, you're kind of wondering who's a good person or not. And you're hearing people her history from, you know, herself and kind of watching someone's life through their own eyes.
Interesting. So, that'll be good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is good. I will say I enjoyed Seven Husbands more than Verity. So.
Okay, good. Is there anything else you're watching or reading right now that you want to tell people about?
Well, tomorrow, actually, the next From Blood and Ash comes out.
Yeah, but
I saw that the author and another book talker was like, oh, but you have to read the prequel first. And I was like, I was going to read that after. So so I'm going to read the prequel first.
Okay.
So that's another 700 book to get to the other 700 book. but that's what I've mainly been reading right now. I tried to get through the Atlas Six, got about halfway. I'm not going to DNF it, but.
I might have to come back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
okay.
So, yeah. How about you?
I started reading Throne of Glass. I finished the first book.
I just finished the first
one. And I started the second one in the series. I'm only like 20 pages into the second one, but I'm reading that one so that we can do that probably towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
We can do our Throne of Glass ones. And then I am, I'll be reading The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. And I started watching two Netflix series. So I'm watching the season 4 of Drive to Survive, which is the Formula One Netflix docuseries, which is excellent. Even if you're not a Formula One fan, it's so well put together and it's so funny. And then I also started watching Vikings Valhalla, which is the sequel to the Vikings original one, and it's very good. And that main character is
Okay.
just
I
right.
my boyfriend and I have been talking about how we need a show to go back to and watch because right now we've been just watching House Hunters, which
Oh,
is
no.
really sad.
I would highly recommend the Vikings Valhalla series. It's really well done. Costume, scenery, spot on.
Yeah.
And it's not, the episodes are not quite an hour maybe, and there's only one season out, but it's been renewed, I think, for seasons 2 and 3 already. And
Okay.
season 2 is supposed to be, they've already finished filming season 2, so it's supposed to be coming out, I think, later this year is what they're
Okay.
hoping. But it's like
Cool.
10 episodes maybe. It's really good. I'd highly recommend it to anyone
Okay.
who likes that type of show. Obviously, if you're not into Vikings or historical fiction shows and stuff, it's not going to be for you, but I've really
Right.
enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
One I have started watching, and it's not something that I've been like binging or anything, but it's on Netflix. Inventing Anna, or Anna, however you
Yeah.
want to say it. Have you watched it?
I've seen parts of it. I haven't sat down and watched the whole thing like outright.
Okay. One thing I realized that the TikTok sound, the I do not have time for this. I do
It's
not have
from
time for you. It's
that.
from that. I didn't realize it until I watched it. Yeah, I've seen a few episodes. It's pretty good. It's not
Yeah.
something that, like I said, it's not something that I feel the need to binge, but it's pretty good. I recommend.
There is another one similar to that that has Amanda Seyfried in
Siegfried. Yeah,
Siegfried, which I'm interested to watch.
I started to watch it, but I have health anxiety, and I started watching it
No, it's
at
not for
the peak
you.
of that.
It's not
So,
for you if you have
no,
health
no.
anxiety.
It's not for me. I tried to watch the first episode, and they were talking about like this guy's dad or brother or somebody that started having these health conditions. And I was like, you know what? I just had a panic attack the other day thinking I was having a heart attack. So you know what? Maybe this isn't for me. But it looks good. So anybody who can enjoy it, go for
Yeah,
it.
it's interesting for me because there was so much talk about this particular, I mean, what's in the show, the device that she creates or
Yeah.
allegedly created and stuff in my industry in particular back when it
Yeah.
happened. It was a huge deal. So it's just interesting to see a kind of a dramatized recap of all of it. It's been kind of
Right.
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Maybe I'll get to it eventually, but
I
maybe
mean,
not.
March has been a good month for stuff. The second season of Bridgerton comes out at the end of March. To March 25th, season 2 is coming out, which I am so excited for.
I mean, Simon's not gonna be in it, but whatever.
No, he's and it's I guess he's not going to be in any of the other ones. He's done with, like, even in the books, although his character reappears in the books, he's just done with the
Which, to be honest, I've seen people talk about casting him as Rhys Ande, and I would not be upset by that. Just saying.
We'll see.
Hulu, if you're listening, I
I
would
know
not be upset.
I'm wondering when we're gonna get information about that show.
I don't know. I want I
Is it
like
even real? Is it
it's
even real?
100% real. Yes, she SJM announced it. It's 100% happening.
Okay.
But I have mixed
No
feelings.
timetable.
No timetable. I have mixed feelings about it. So on one hand, I really want to know. On another hand, like I'm like, are they gonna screw this up? Because I don't know if I can handle that. So
We'll see. We'll keep you guys updated. Don't worry.
yeah, I'll call my people at Hulu and let you guys know. I'll break the news.
We'll talk to SJM. We'll let you
Yeah.
know what she says. She comes over for weekly dinner, so I mean, we have
Absolutely.
plenty of time to talk to
Plenty of
her.
time. Yep.
All right. So that's gonna be it. That's gonna be it for
That's it.
Colleen Hoover for now, although I think we'll be back with at least one of her other books
Yeah.
in the future episodes. And I guess we'll catch you guys next time. Peace out.
Yes, so.
Bye.
Bye.